Welcome to the Legal Nurse Podcast, where you'll get tips to expand your legal nurse consulting skills. Every week, you'll hear from experts from within and outside the legal nurse consulting business. They'll share their knowledge to help you grow. Your show is moderated by Pat Iyer, a legal nurse consultant with over 30 years' experience. So join our community, sit back, relax, and get ready to learn. Here's your host, Pat Iyer.
Hi, welcome back to the Legal Nurse Podcast. This is your co-host, Kelly Campbell. And today's guest is Ms. David Henson. Welcome, David. Today's podcast guest is an author. He is Mr. David Kempston, graduated from the University of Minnesota Law School in 1992, magna cum laude, and Order of the Coif. He has spent over 26 years as a litigator. He has tried over 400 cases. Ladies and gentlemen, we have something to learn from him today. He has been voted a super lawyer every year since 2000. So impressive, I do have to say. He is recently named the 2017 Anoka County Lawyer of the Year. He frequently lectures on the Minnesota's workers' compensation statute and is a contributing author to a chapter in the Minnesota Workers' Compensation Desk Book, Chapter 7. And he has written a book published through Amazon in 2017. I can't wait to talk to you about this. Entitled, That's Why They Call It Practicing Law. This is the main reason you want to tune in today and not fast forward. Okay, let's get started. Welcome. Thank you for joining us today.
Thanks, Kelly. Greetings from the Minnesota polar vortex where it's minus 28 degrees outside.
Ay, ay, ay. Well, here in Pittsburgh, it is minus 19, but you have us beat. Hey. So tell us a little bit, not just about your practice, but about your book. I know at the end we're going to talk more specifically about your book, but since 2000, a super lawyer. That's pretty impressive.
Thanks, Kelly. Well, my book grew out of a philosophy of litigation. I litigate cases for a living. I've litigated a lot of cases. I still have about 100 more to go before I catch up to Abe Lincoln, who tried over 500 cases. So when you hear the phrase trial lawyer thrown about in a pejorative sense, just realize that good old Abe was the consummate trial lawyer, and that'll maybe get us some street cred. In any event, I learned over the course of trying lots and lots of cases that clients did not always recognize good lawyering. In fact, they often did not. I would, you know, perhaps behave boorishly in the courtroom and a client would be all excited about that. And truthfully, I wasn't a good lawyer move. Conversely, I might do something subtle or very lawyer-like and the client missed it entirely. What I did find, however, was that over the years, clients consistently would recognize and respond to good customer service. And so the idea behind the book was born out of being in the courtroom repeatedly, trying lots and lots of cases, dealing with all sorts of clients, you know, on the spectrum from sophisticated to not sophisticated, and realizing that, you know, one way to set myself apart was to provide excellent customer service. Because if you think about it, you know, at its core, law is a people relationship. You know, at the core, you have, of what I do, you have the attorney-client privilege. So if you want to improve that relationship and thereby improving the representation that you provide, you work on improving the customer service that you provide. And I don't say, oh, gee, just be nice and be kind and return phone calls and who cares about the substantive law. It's not a false dichotomy that way. My emphasis is always be an excellent attorney. Know your substance, know your process. But under all of that, you know, work on developing your client customer service skills. And so the book talks about that. And I pepper it with, you know, dumb Dave stories. That would be me, things that, you know, you should not do.
That's hard to imagine.
Well, they call it practicing law. They don't call it perfecting law, Kelly, and there's a reason. That was the genesis of the book. It came out, I gave it as a seminar to trial lawyers several times, and then having written the book, I've had a wonderful opportunity to speak to a variety of different groups, not just attorneys, because we all deal with people. I mean, I realize there are some professions where we do not, but by and large, we're all dealing with clients or customers. And so the book, even though it's set in the context of a legal practice, it has much broader application.
So true. So what prompted you to write the book? You know, because you said, you mentioned that you spoke at seminars, practicing, you know.
Yeah, it was in my head for about 5 years, and I gave it as a seminar, and it was in my head. I've been married for 29 and a half years. I'm married to the most wonderful person on the planet, and her name is Lisa. And Lisa said, Dave, you should write a book. Now, when I commenced the process, there were some second thoughts, because I do work full-time. I'm a litigator, and then was trying to write a book on top of that. It caused a little bit of consternation in the Kempstein clan, but we got through it. So that was...
Assuming, I can only imagine. Wow. So what I think legal nurse consultants and me as a life care planner, what we can glean from it, you had briefly mentioned that you work with people and the clients, and what we can glean from that. Simply the title alone, it prompts our interest as legal nurse consultants.
Right.
So
right.
Why and how did you choose that title?
Well, it goes to this idea that we can improve what we do. All right. You can always be better at what you do, but one way to get better is to accept input from other people, to accept advice. So if a client comes to you, or a peer, a lawyer for you, another nurse, and says, gee, Kelly, or gee, David, you're doing this way, is that really how you want to do it? Instead of being defensive, you know, and saying, oh, I got this, I'm a pro, stop, you know, pause, choose, listen, and accept, you know, the idea that the wise person accepts rebuke. Rebuke is an old word. But the wise person accepts instruction. And so this idea of constantly perfecting, you know, trying to improve what it is that we do. You know, I realize, Kelly, we all start with a different inherent set of people skills. All right. Some people might say, well, gee, Dave, I wasn't voted, you know, president of Glee Club in high school, and I wasn't on the Yale team, and I'm just not good with people. Fine. I'm not saying you all of a sudden have to be a rock star people person. What I am saying is that although relationships are organic, they are organic, and if you're faking, that doesn't work. But that being said, your relational skills are also a technical set of skills, and you can improve those. Just as a trial lawyer, you know, I can improve how I present my client's case in the courtroom. I can refine the art of a opening statement, cross-examination, direct exam. In similar fashion, I can refine how I interact with my client. And so the book gives about 22 practical pointers. You're not going to read it and go, oh, gee, Dave, I never thought of that. You know, it's not one of those books where I'm providing you with some, you know, epiphany. All right.
Right.
What it is it's 22 practical ways to improve personal relationships. And my hope is that you might read the book, and I've learned I have to go to seminars all the time to keep my licensure intact. I teach at a lot of them, but I also attend them. And my goal when I go to a seminar is, can I take away one thing? If I can take away more than one thing, great. But can I at least take away one thing and put it in the Dave toolbox, you know, thereby improving my skill set? And so I think when you read this book, you're going to, and that's my hope, is that you'll read it and you'll go, yeah. You know, I was an English major in college. I hardly ever get to throw it down, but here we go. You know, Alexander Pope, many, many hundreds of years ago, said about something, what oft was thought but ne'er so well expressed. All right. So what I'm hoping is that I've distilled some commonsensical items and put them you know, maybe at a level where someone can go, yeah, I can work on that. I mean, for example, I'm a plaintiff lawyer. Okay, I've been a plaintiff lawyer for 23 years. I was an insurance defense lawyer for about 3 years before that. And one of the things I can't stand is lawyers who don't return phone calls. Okay, granted, we're now email. I get that. So I don't care for lawyers who don't return inquiries. There we go.
Yeah, okay.
I try not to be that guy, all right? And with clients, so what I do with clients is I say, look, you know, one way I can demonstrate care for a client is to be timely, to respond to their inquiries. And I want to set a good expectation. So in my book, I talk about the 24-hour rule. You know, tell a client, hey, you'll hear back from me within 24 hours, unless I'm dead, out of town, or something bad happened. Because sometimes you're stuck in court and you come out and you've got a ton of email, you got a ton of voicemail. You might just dig out and say, you know, look, Billy or Susie, I'm getting back to you. I'm sorry, I'm not ready to talk about this yet, but I wanted you to know that you're on my list and I'm just working my way down the list. And if you give the client an expectation that they will hear back from you within a period of time, it puts them a little more at ease. Plus, then if you follow through on it, they're flabbergasted. That's my favorite F word. You know, a client just goes, oh my gosh, you got back to me. You know, and what's really funny in all this, Kelly, is that going back to what I said at the very beginning, clients don't recognize good lawyering. Usually they don't. But they do recognize if you do what you say you're going to do, if you're timely, if you're responsive. So you could be a middle-of-the-road lawyer in terms of your trial skills, but say you're attentive and you provide good customer service. Your client's going to think, as my mother-in-law used to say, that you're the cat's meow. I mean, your client's going to appreciate that. They're going to be like, wow, this person gets back to me. You know, twice in my legal life now, and I've represented a lot of people, I've had a client come back and say, David, I know it wasn't true, but I felt like I was your only client. Now, the flip
That's
side
the
of that,
ultimate compliment.
It is. And the flip side of that is that, you know, you want to be accessible and available, but boundaries are important. So I'm not saying, gee, be lawyer, you know, be on call 24 hours a day. I'm not saying that at all. In fact, in the book, I talk about self-cares and how important it is to establish boundaries. And that if you don't do that, you know, we're all finite creatures. We all have limited capacity and we can't go 100% all the time. And I have a friend who used to say, David, it's very easy to create boundaries, but it's very hard to enforce them. And what you find is this constant erosion. I have 4 children. I have 3 grandkids. And, you know, so you in the family, you know, you have boundaries, right? But those boundaries, and any parent or grandparent will know this, those boundaries erode. And they periodically have to be reestablished. And so I'm trying to balance that in my practice. And I don't pretend to be perfect. But again, in my book, I give some ideas on how to go about doing those sorts of things.
Well, one thing that stood out to me was your 24-hour rule. Even if you don't have the time right then to address the specific issue, it's just acknowledging the email that you will be responding. That's something we can take into our practice right now as legal nurse consultants. You know, yes, we received your email and we will be responding very shortly. That's something fabulous that we can insert into our practices.
If you think about it, Kelly, every relationship you have has equity. It's like, you know, a bank account, and you're making deposits and you're making withdrawals from that relational equity. And what you want to do is make as many deposits into the relational equity account as you can, because nobody is perfect and people get irritated. Lawyers make mistakes. I know nurses do not, but lawyers make mistakes once in a blue moon. And so it's nice to have a little bit of relational equity in the bank. And, you know, I think by being available, being responsive to the client, you can achieve that goal.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. So as a litigator, you find your principles to be effective in an adversarial system. What do you think of that?
I do. You know, picture lawyer, okay, and picture litigator, and you probably see a shark in your mind if you close your eyes and picture litigator, you know, something, an unpleasant thought comes to mind, all right? And you go to law school, and that is kind of how you come out. You think, okay, I got to be a bulldog. And it was funny, because if you would have asked me when I was younger, hey, David, what do you do for a living? All right, I kid you not, I said this and drove my wife nuts. I would say, I'm a paid mercenary with a spear. All right, and you go, well, okay, what does that even mean? I mean, are you like Sparta? Or what is this, okay? Now, fast forward, I'm, you know, 51 years old. I've been doing this for over half my life. Now when someone says, David, what do you do? I say, well, I'm a glorified tour guide. And people go, well, wait, I thought you were a lawyer. Well, I am. But think about it. My job is to take my clients through a complicated system. So I navigate them through a complex procedural process. And it's substantively complicated too. The second thing that I do, trying a lot of cases, is that I am telling their story to a fact finder, to a judge. My trials are bench trials. I try them to the judge. And so when we get to court or along the way, I'm telling my client's story to other witnesses, to expert witnesses, to garner support, and ultimately to the fact finder in hopes that my, you know, presentation, my client's story is going to prevail. And I don't mean something we made up. It's an adversarial system. And, you know, that's the beauty. That's the bane. And the beauty of the adversarial system is that if it's having a hard time floating, the other side is going to poke some holes in it and you're going down. So how does that work in litigation? You know, the reality is that the client's story is going to be told. And there's a couple different ways to do it. One is where you're really focusing on the evidence and you're leaving your ego out of it. And, you know, you catch more flies with honey. And, I mean, all of the cliches that I could unload on you right now, it does work. It is effective. Now, I've spoken to groups of trial lawyers, and I've had people come up to me afterwards and say, Kempston, do you really believe in this, you know, kumbaya, you know, stuff? And I say, yeah. And I've had people say, well, it doesn't work for me. And I, you know, my response is, have you tried? You know, or are you just always a growly bear? Because never confuse being firm with being gentle. All right. You can be both. Just picture a brick in a velvet glove. All right.
Oh, nice analogy. Okay.
I can't take credit for that one. A judge that I know when I was a young lawyer and very upset after a terrible job in the courtroom consoled me with that. And she was trying to explain, David, you don't have to be a growly bear. You don't have to be a paid mercenary with a spear. You can be a tour guide, David.
Well, yeah, just the facts, ma'am. You know, you can do that and get the point across.
Detective right? Friday. Very good.
Okay.
This is Pat Iyer pausing this interview for a moment to relate this podcast to one of my two newest books called How to Create Lasting LNC Client Relationships. It's book 10 in the Creating a Successful Legal Nurse Consulting series. It provides a deep dive into the relationships between legal nurse consultants and their clients. Working with attorneys is challenging and rewarding. Without a steady stream of attorneys who love working with you, your legal nurse consulting business collapses. Does this worry you? It should. The core of being a successful LNC is being able to effectively work with attorneys. You can have an aggressive marketing program to bring in new clients, but if you can't retain them, you'll be endlessly spinning your wheels. Your clients will stay with you when you understand what they want, how they are wired, and how you can do a great job for them. When I ran my independent LNC business, some people stayed with me for more than 20 years. How to Create Lasting LNC Client Relationships explains the best way to build a solid client retention program using strategies that work to identify the desirable clients and avoid the troublemakers. This is an essential reference for every LNC. Get your copy by going to this podcast show notes on podcast.legalnursebusiness.com. www.thelegalnursepodcast.com. You can order this book or any of the others in the series. Use the code LISTENED to get a 25% discount, and that page again is podcast.legalnursebusiness.com. Now let's return to the show.
So, what application does your book have for other service industries? As you're talking, I'm receiving it and knowing what I can do in my industry, but let's spell it out for our listeners. What else can you do?
Thanks. Again, you can take what I lay out in the book, these 22 pointers, and you can apply it to any setting, whether it's a business setting or an insurance sales setting or a nurse setting. Or I've had some physicians read the book and say, David, this is excellent for dealing with my patients. And you know, the idea again is that at the core of what we do, we are dealing with people. And so we want to improve our people skills. You know, technology was supposed to set us free, right? We were going to have all this free time. We weren't going to be stressed. Remember that? You know, I'm sure you're 29, but I'm 51.
Oh, yeah.
And,
thanks.
You know, I've seen some changes over the years. And, you know, one of the things that I've seen is that technology has not given us more free time. If anything else, it's made things increasingly cold. You have less face-to-face interaction. You know, I was trading emails with a client yesterday, and I finally emailed and said, hey, can you call me? And let's just talk this out. And so she picked up the phone, and she called me, and we talked for 10 minutes. And I said, you know, I can type really fast, but I can talk way faster, can't I?
Oh, I'm so with you on that.
I said, oh, my gosh, you talk fast. And so, you know, in the age of increasing digitization, hard word for me to say, in the digital age, you know, as we are more and more removed from personal contact, I think emphasizing customer service is so huge. You know, one of the things I talk about in my book is being available. You know, in the wait, if you're a waiter, a wait person, they call it touching the table. You know, you don't want to be the wait person that's omnipresent and hovers and makes small chat when you're like, go away, we're trying to eat our dinner. But the flip side is you don't want an inattentive wait person. So they call it touching the table, and you want to have appropriate touchings of the table in all of the industries, whether you're working as a nurse consultant, a life care planner, you're doing patient care, LPN, RN, whatever. The principles apply across the board because we're dealing with people. We're talking about improving our people skills.
That's so true. You know, because many of the legal nurse consultants or the life care planners end up being the expert witness. So, you know, your clients are the attorneys, but your clients are also / the patients. So we look at it from both ends, and there's a lot of compassion and people skills. So true. Okay. We've already talked about the benefits of providing good customer service, but is there something else that you feel we should give the extra oomph to make our listeners more aware?
Sure. You know, if you do this, it's going to accrue to your benefit, all right? You're going to keep your existing clients satisfied. You're probably going to generate more referrals. You know, that the buzzwords these days are market share or branding. Well, what a great way to brand, you know, personal touch. And again, you don't have to overtly say, oh, I'm going to give you really good customer service. As a matter of fact, why don't you under promise and over deliver? Just do it in the, you know, the old Nike phrase. And I think that it's a great way to set yourself apart, you know, to be excellent, no matter what you do for a living. It's a great way to be excellent because, again, people are going to have, they're going to have a good impression of you. Now, not everybody is, all right? Again, I've been doing this for a long time, and the reality is there's always, it's not even 5%, maybe it's 2% that you can't please, no matter what you do. And they're not, and you know, for nurse consultants who are dealing with lawyers, maybe it's 10% of the lawyer clients, no matter what you do. I don't know. But there's always going to be a segment that no matter what you do, it's not enough. All right. So let's put them in a box, because we're not going to be able to appease them or satisfy them no matter what we do. All right. But everybody else is going to recognize and respond to it. And in the long run, it's going to improve your business. That's what it's going to do.
Right. And, you know, since 2000, you being a super lawyer, I'd say you pretty much know what you're talking about.
Or, you know, all my peers in Minnesota just really like me and vote for me every year. That's another possibility.
Let's go with, I think you know what you're talking about there. Okay, so in your book, obviously we don't want to give too much away, but what are some specific ways you recommend?
Well, it's very helpful to understand as an attorney that the relationship isn't about you. You know, it's called the attorney-client relationship, but the attorney is not the focus, the client is. So I open the book with a discussion about, you know, understanding that it's not about you. I delve into setting realistic expectations. How do you do that? The 24-hour rule is, you know, a classic example of that. I talk about the importance of listening. You know, you go to law school and they teach you how to talk. They teach you how to argue. They teach you how to identify the issues and knock them down and bring your evidence to bear on this particular issue. They call it adducing the evidence, all right? But they never teach you how to listen. And it's interesting because, you know, God gave us two ears and one mouth, and form often follows, or function often follows form, you know? And so listening is such an important skill set in the lawyer world, because if I don't listen, I'm going to miss the mark. And I give some examples of that. You know, I talked about being available. This is a funny one. I'm a trial lawyer. I tell my clients to tell the truth all the time. Okay. I tell them to tell the truth. Why? Because it's the right thing to do. It's the easiest thing to do. And by golly, I live in an adversarial world. So the other side's going to find out anyway. All right. So tell the truth. You know, now I'm not saying don't be an advocate, but truth wears well. You know, in the courtroom, what I'm looking for, I'm not the fact finder, but what I want to hear, what my veteran ear longs to hear, is what I call the ring of authenticity. What is that? It's truth. Okay, now granted, you know, I'm not omniscient. C.S. Lewis once said, what you see and hear depends a lot upon what kind of person you are and where it is that you're standing. And I get that, okay? I'm a Minnesota Viking fan. If, you know, I watch a football game with my Green Bay Packer buddy, I mean, it's, you know, we're doing this the whole time. You know, it's like, whoa, I didn't see that. Oh, yeah, it's right there, Dave, look. And so I get that, all right? We're not omniscient. We're not omni-anything. So, you know, sometimes the truth is elusive, and you know, you've heard the story. You know, there's three sides: their side, your side, and the truth. I get that, but to the extent we can encourage truthfulness, we want to do that. And I'm not saying that you don't advocate. I have a buddy who says, David, you can put the same picture in 1,000 different frames. All right, and that's true. Okay, it's like a football field. You know, the Super Bowl's coming up this weekend, and you know, there's a lot of room between the markers, between the hash marks. Okay, there's clear out of bounds and don't go there. And that's a dead ball when it goes there. But, you know, between the sidelines, there's a lot of room to move. I talk about doing the work. You know, Abe Lincoln, the second time I go to Abe, all right? He had a great quote. Work, work, work is the main thing. You know, there is no substitute. Ernest Hemingway, all right? Two of my siblings were also English majors, and he's their favorite American writer. He's not mine, but it's okay. He had an interesting saying about writing. He said, work every day, no matter what happened the day before, get up in the morning and bite on the nail. You know, there's no substitute for doing good work. You can't just be nice and kind and follow him. You've got to do the work. That's like saying, gee, Dave shouldn't wear, you know, a blue tie or a gray tie because he's got a blue shirt on. No, that's silly. They're not mutually exclusive. I can do them both. All right. So do the work, you know, be prepared, communicate clearly. One of the things I talk about is maintaining perspective. You know, we're the experts. All right. In your field, as a nurse consultant, you are the expert. People are coming to you with a problem. You know, and again, you're not perfect and you're not omniscient, but bring your expertise to bear. Share that with the client. You know, make good referrals.
Nurse consultants shouldn't forget, we are the experts. Thank you for reminding them. And me. Thank you.
So I also talk about self-care and how important that is. And, you know, in the modern age, I mean, I belong to a health club, go to the health club. They've got this magazine and you read the magazine and you begin to think, oh, I can do it all. You know, I can be a great lawyer and I can be a great runner and I can be a great husband. I can be a great dad and I can be a great grandpa and I can have lots of friendships and I can have tons of hobbies. And you know what? We are finite and you need to have boundaries and not just in your professional relationship, but you need to be taking care of yourself, because a healthy lawyer or a healthy nurse is going to do a better job taking care of their clients. And so I talk about that too. I think that gives you a flow for the book. Those are the main elements that I get after as I work my way through how we can improve the customer service that we provide to clients.
Okay. Well, you're going to find an uptick on the Amazon purchase, because as soon as we're done here, number one, I'm going to find you on LinkedIn. Number two, I'm going to purchase your book. So let's tell our listeners, how do we find you and follow you?
Well, thanks. Yeah, LinkedIn, David Kempston, you can go there. The book looks like this. If you go,
perfect.
If you go to Amazon and you type in David Kempston, the book should pop up. It's, if you're a Kindle person, if you have Kindle Unlimited, you can get it that way. Kindle, I think it's $4. Paperback is $10, $9.99. And it's available on Amazon. It has received a lot of good reviews from a variety of different people. Like I said, I've got law professors that have highly endorsed it, and insurance people and medical professionals, and a lot of input from attorneys. So it's available on Amazon. It's a quick read. All right. It's about 18,000 words. And I find I'm an avid reader left over from being an English major. I do like short books. I mean, it's seldom I read a book and go, gee, I wish that was longer. Now, once in a blue moon, I do read a book and go, you know, this writer really was on it. And then I wish the book was longer. But by and large, I'm getting to the finish line. I'm thinking, ooh, you should have quit writing about 10 pages ago. So you're going to find it to be a quick read, but you're going to find some good pointers in here that will challenge you in your practice and hopefully help you to improve your practice.
Oh, thank you. Thanks so much for your time today. It was very informative and enjoyable. All right. Thanks. So LinkedIn, David Kempston, and Practicing Law on Amazon. Thanks so much. All right, audience, join us next week. Tune in. Bye.
Be sure to get a copy of my new book, How to Create Lasting LNC Client Relationships. This book focuses on what really counts as an LNC. Having a strong relationship with your clients drives your success. Working with attorneys is challenging and rewarding. You have an aggressive marketing program to bring in new clients. But if you can't retain them, you'll be endlessly spinning your wheels. Be sure to get this book at the show notes for this show at podcast.legalnursebusiness.com.
And I've got a phenomenal resource for you just waiting on legalnursebusiness.com. My online training and books are designed to help LNCs discover ways to strengthen their skills and their businesses. Check them out at legalnursebusiness.com. Many of us are lifelong learners who enjoy the chance to keep expanding our knowledge, just like the Book of the Month clubs, my membership site, LNCEU, www.legalnursepodcast.com gives you 2 online trainings every month. We have a yearly payment plan that saves you over $50 compared to paying monthly, and each program is hugely discounted. Look at the options at lncu.com. And my last website, thelncacademy.com, is the coaching program I offer to a select number of LNCs. You get my personal attention and mentorship so that you can excel and build a strong foundation for your LNC practice. Get all the details at lncacademy.com.
We hope you enjoyed today's episode. Check out Pat Iyer's resources for legal nurse consultants on legalnursebusiness.com. Pat coaches legal nurse consultants so they make more money, get more clients, and avoid expensive mistakes. Check out her coaching program at lncacademy.com. Please subscribe to our podcast and leave a review on iTunes. We always are interested in your ideas for new topics. Please leave a comment on legalnursepodcasts.com. Join our community and get notified of each new episode and receive the transcript of today's program. Complete the request form on legalnursepodcasts.com. We appreciate you and your interest.